we're going to look at respiration in our extant amphibians. And obviously when we think about living amphibians, they are going to respire using both lungs, but let's remember that they can also respire across the surface of their skin. When you look at the lung of an amphibian, if you look at the visual that's online, you'll see they have fairly simple lungs, sac-like structures. They don't have a lot of subdivisions internally, which means they don't have a large surface area to volume. And we could go through all the various tubes. So obviously we've got the pharynx, which is in the mouth region. And as we go through looking at other vertebrates, we're going to talk about some of the other structures, such as the larynx and the bronchial tubes, etc. But in the case of an amphibian, we're really just going to talk about the pharynx. And then there's a tube going from the pharynx down to the lungs. We're really only interested in the opening to that, which is going to be called the glottis. So we're going to look at, to start with, respiration in an amphibian using the lung. So if you look at the figure that's provided, what will happen is, in order for an amphibian to respire, they're going to close their mouth and open their nostrils, and they're going to drop the floor of the buccopharyngeal cavity. It's basically the floor of the mouth. They're going to drop that down. They're going to try and create a negative pressure, and that is going to allow them to then draw air in through the nares into that area. And they have a sort of, by dropping the floor of the mouth, they can sort of store that air in a sort of pouch just there. Okay, at that point in time, the glottis is closed and no air is moving in or out of the lungs. So they're going to keep the nares open. And the next thing they're going to do, step two, is they're going to open the glottis. And then they are going to squeeze old stale air, which will be low in oxygen, high in carbon dioxide. They're going to squeeze that out of their lungs and out. And to do that, they're going to have to contract various muscles. Remember, amphibians don't have much by way of ribs. So they're going to have to contract abdominal muscles, which will squeeze the lungs and push that air up and out of the nose. Now, there is a possibility that there might be some slight mixing of the old stale air and the fresh air inside the buccopharyngeal cavity, but by having that sort of pouchy structure, the air, pretty much old stale air, flows over the top and there isn't too much mixing. So the next thing they need to do is close the nares, keep the glottis open, and now they are going to contract the muscles in the buccopharyngeal cavity. And they're going to relax the abdominal muscles, and that is going to push that air, which was in that sort of pouchy structure, down into the lungs so gas exchange can occur. And then very often what happens is they leave the nares open, they close the glottis, and they seem to sort of pump the air backwards and forwards. And partly this might be to do with sound production, which we are going to hear about by our groups who are looking at vocalizations in frogs. The other thing we need to consider in association with this is the circulatory system of an amphibian. So if you look at the circulatory system of an amphibian, which is basically the heart and the blood vessels, the first thing you notice is there are two atria. They are sitting side by side, subdivided, but now there is only a single ventricle. They are the first of the vertebrates which are going to use a double circulatory system. So this means the blood basically passes through the heart twice. And the reason why we have to have a much stronger pumping mechanism is now it's a lot harder to move the blood around the body. We're no longer in the water, and now we have big effects of gravity, and blood tends to pool in certain parts of the body. So what will happen is you'll get your deoxygenated blood flowing back to the right atria, and the two atrias are completely separated, and then it will move into the ventricle, but there's really only one ventricle. But there are sort of subdivisions within the ventricle, sort of got these little walls, sort of pouchy areas, and you can kind of keep the flow of blood on the right-hand side. And then what will happen is it will go from there. Amphibians still have a conus arteriosus, so coming out from the ventricles we have this vessel, the conus arteriosus, and inside it it's got a spiral valve, and that spiral valve can direct the movement of the blood in terms of where you want it to go. So if they're going to be using their lungs, the spiral valve will move such that blood coming from the right ventricle will go out along the pulmonary vessels to the lungs. It will pick up oxygen. It will come back to the right atrium, oxygenated blood. It will then move into the right ventricle will enter the conus arteriosus and it will get directed off and around the body. Now, if your amphibian is diving, it's going to be predominantly using its skin for respiration, and that oxygenated blood in the veins is going to drain back to the right atrium. So what's going to happen now is you're going to take that blood from the right atrium, it's going to go into the right ventricle and into the conus arteriosus, but the conus arteriosus is now going to push that blood directly out into the general circulatory system, so it's going to go around the body as oxygenated blood, and it's going to pretty much constrict off the blood vessels going to the lungs, so that very little blood, if any, is flowing out to the lungs, because if it's under the water, what's the purpose? You're going to consume more oxygen sending blood out to the lungs than you're going to gain. So there are lots of advantages for the amphibian in terms of not having a completely divided ventricle and having this vessel coming out, the conus arteriosus, with a spiral valve in it, which can then direct blood in different directions.